You are listening to Todd Talks from the Truett Church Network. Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy.
Welcome to Todd Talks, where my guest today is the Reverend Tisha Dixon Williams. Tish, as she allows me to call her, is the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Bridgehampton, New York. Tish has been with us today for chapel and the Truett Black Seminarians Association gathering, and we are just thrilled, overjoyed to have you, Tish. Welcome to Truett Seminary. Welcome to Todd Talks.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Dean Still. I've been having, this has been the best 48 hours. From the campus to the Waco area to discovering new things about Waco, it has been a fantastic honor. And thank you for the privilege of preaching at chapel today.
Well, the students, the faculty, the staff, all of a sudden, there's this new rock star walking around Truett. Everyone is elated you're here, and I certainly am. I want us to just have a conversation this afternoon, and I thought, Tish, that we could get the ball rolling. If I could just ask you the question, how is it that you came to faith in the first place? How is it that you became a Christ follower?
I became a Christ follower at 9 years old. So I was very young. I was baptized at 9 years old. I was one of those children that came to church and looked forward to the nap during the preached word. My mom would make it very comfortable for me to lay on her lap during the preaching moment. And one day she didn't let me go to sleep. One day she decided I was old enough to stay awake. And in staying awake, I began to hear about this guy named Jesus. And it's like, well, he sounds pretty amazing. He can do all these things and walk on water and work miracles. And I think I want to know more about him. And I just kept staying awake in church and listening to the preacher. And one day I just felt compelled to follow Christ. Well, if he's this great to everyone else, then maybe he'll be that great to me. And at 9 years old, I was baptized. And I've been going ever since.
That's beautiful. So growing up, obviously, the world was your oyster. You were thinking of any number of things that you might do vocationally.
Yes.
So talk to us about how Tish growing up was kind of thinking her life might go.
So Tish always had a huge imagination. So there's two things I always had was a huge imagination and a great ability to make friends. Everyone was my friend. My mom would say, everyone is not your friend. Yeah, they are my friend. So I'd be on the playground for maybe 15 minutes. Mommy, meet my friend. She's like, everybody is not your friend. But I've never known strangers, and I've always had a grand imagination. I can't think of a better combination for pastoring or preaching.
Right. Yeah.
Preachers have to be friendly and love people, and we certainly need to be able to use our creative imaginations to communicate the gospel of Christ. And so those two things have always served me well. And when I was about 15 years old, I was on summer break and I didn't want to do anything for the summer. And my brother came home from school. He was going to Northwestern. He came home for summer break and saw me on the couch. And it's like, you will not spend the whole summer on the couch. And he began to look at, he was an avid newspaper reader, even at 17 years old. He always read the paper. And in the back one day, he found an ad for a pageant. They were looking for teenagers to come and audition for this pageant. And he's like, you're coming with me. And he said, you're getting off the couch. And I went, tried out for this pageant. I ended up placing in the pageant. I ended up winning first place in the pageant, which then took me to Disney World and then won the whole nationwide leg of the pageant. And that birthed something in me for that moment. And similar to the sermon I preached today, it gave me what I call a go for yours spirit, to go for opportunities when you see them. That one moment, my brother making me get off the couch, changed how I look at life, changed how I look at ministry. And I've been approaching ministry that way ever since. So as I shared, I'm not one to necessarily wait for opportunity, but to create opportunity. I feel like that's the way I give back to God, by never wasting an opportunity.
So did you get on the pageant circuit for a while?
I was on the pageant circuit for a while.
If that's what it's called?
It's exactly what it's called. I hope the pictures never surface. I thank God it didn't happen in this day and age where everything is in the cloud.
Oh.
and can be found. Yes. I'm glad they're buried somewhere too. But I learned a lot. I learned a great deal. I learned how to present myself. I learned how to say no gracefully. Yes. I learned how to think on my feet. I learned how to be in conversation and community with people. And so there's something a friend says, and I've since stolen it from her, that nothing is wasted in God's economy. Mm-hmm. That everything you've ever been through, everything that you'll go through informs who you are. Yeah. And I have found that every unique experience I've ever had serves me well at the desk, at the pulpit. It serves me well as a pastor. All of that informs who I am today.
I have a friend who says, what God allows, God redeems.
That's right. Isn't that? Oh, I love that. That's so encouraging.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So here you are then in your late teenage, young adult years. Who is Tish to be?
Tish is to be. Tish thinks she's going to be an actress.
Okay.
Tish does act for a little while. And then Tish gets married and decided she likes married life, so she's not going to do that anymore. And then she just goes on and works professionally. And then she goes back to church. She left church for a little while.
Okay.
When she got married.
Okay.
And I remember having a conversation with my husband saying, you know, I grew up in church. I grew up going to church. I want us as a couple to go back to church.
Okay.
And because we were living a very charmed life.
Right.
Like our life was really great.
Yes.
And I just felt compelled to thank God for that. I felt like I had to serve God as a thank you for where I was in life.
Yes.
I'm young. I'm married. We have these two great careers. You know, you're living the dream. We have the two cars. We have the house. Life is really great. And I felt so guilty that I was not sowing back into God.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, no, you don't get to live a life like this. And number one, pay it forward. And number two, thank God. You don't get to do that. And so we began our journey back to church, and I found a wonderful Baptist church, First Calvary Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York, where my pastor is Earl Jones Sr., who affirmed me in ministry, who is always, as he says, I'm not only on your train, I'm pushing your train. And we became very active in ministry. I became a minister. My husband became a deacon, and we have been going ever since. I've always been compelled to be in church and serve God.
So it was the impulse of gratitude that caused you to go back to church.
Yes.
Someone once suggested, I think it was C.K. Chesterton, that he felt sorry for the atheists, for they have no one to think. And I think that it was Erskine that said in the New Testament, religion is grace and ethics is gratitude.
Oh. That's beautiful.
So this is just you being ethical.
It's really me being ethical.
So you get back to church. The Lord has affirmed your calling. But how did you get from ordination on the one hand to becoming a lead pastor, a senior pastor on the other? Take us through those twists and turns.
Quite by accident. So the church that I was attending is in Brooklyn, but we had a home about 2 hours from Brooklyn, and my mother-in-law, God rest her soul, would come from Florida to New York for the summers.
Okay.
And I can remember getting the house ready for her, cleaning, preparing, all those things. And it was a Sunday morning, and I said, yeah, I feel like going to church, and I can't go back. I can't go to my church. We're 2 hours away. So I'm going to go someplace local. And I said to myself, I know, I'm going to go to that little church on the turnpike. And I'd only been there to visit once, and this would be my second visit there.
Okay.
I said, I'm going to go there. And I go, and I'm like, it is such a beautiful feeling here. They have a guest preacher that day. And so I'm looking at the program so that when the welcome, like a good Baptist, when the welcome segment comes up, I can stand up and, you know, do my whole giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, the whole speech. I'm ready. And I'm looking for the pastor's name to acknowledge, and there is no pastor.
Okay.
I was like, okay. And so I realized that they were without a pastor and had learned they had been without a pastor for over a year at that point. And so after the service was over, I did something that I had never done before and had not had to do it again. I gave the interim my card and I said, I'm here a lot. If you ever need someone to perform the ordinances or to teach Bible study, I can make myself available. It didn't feel right to me to be an able-bodied clergy person and not offer my help to a church without a pastor.
Yes.
Because we know they're in a world of turmoil. You don't know what's happening, but you know it's not good. It's probably like herding cats. And so I offered my help, and they maybe called me like the next day and asked if I would come and preach. I never asked to preach. And they called me consistently for maybe off and on for about a year. And then eventually they said, we're starting a search committee. Will you throw your hat in the ring? And I said, gladly. And that was about maybe a 6-month process.
Okay.
And then on April of 2018, I became the first woman pastor of the First Baptist Church in Bridgehampton.
100-year history.
In the 100-year history of the church.
And so you're nearing 6 years.
Yes, I am. I'm coming around the corner of six years. Yes, April will be 6 years. Yes.
So, Tish, as you have begun your pastorate and have now put in, as we've said, almost 6 years, what are some of the outstanding lessons that you've learned? I mean, what are some things that that really stand out in this initial period of ministry?
The number one lesson is authenticity, to show up every day as my authentic self. That is the greatest lesson in ministry I've ever learned, and I've done my best to adhere to that. I said it to the students earlier. I look at it as almost like a radio frequency. There are some people who are tuned to your frequency, and I feel like we do ourselves a disservice, and I think it's insulting to God when we try to change the frequency for the sake of being popular or for the sake of doing what everyone else wants you to do. When you show up as your authentic self, you can never insult God by being your authentic self. You can't hurt your God. You can't surprise God. You can't offend God. God already knows who you are. Yes. And so I think the biggest lesson has been my authenticity. From the moment I interviewed for the role, there were some things I was going to change. And I said, no, because if they can't accept me the way that I am, that's not my space.
Yes.
And so showing up every day as your authentic self and bringing that to the preaching moment. People can spot inauthentic people from a mile away.
Yes.
And people deserve transparency to an extent, and they deserve authenticity in the pulpit, because I think that's where people find hope.
Yes.
That, wow, God did this for you. That means God can do it for me, too. That's the biggest lesson. Show up every day as your authentic self and love God unapologetically. Love God. I don't want to get emotional. Love God unapologetically. Like, when I think about, God using somebody like me, who is often really goofy, who is often who does not get a lot of things right. I'm so grateful that God would use me. Like, why me? I know people say, why not you? But why me? That's encouraging. And it's also, I'm awestruck every single day. I remember being called to say, I think you got this one wrong. God, I was like, I don't think so. And then I find myself in spaces like this, and it's extraordinary. And this is why I'm so encouraged by David. David is, while, you know, his story is controversial at times, he's probably one of my favorite biblical personalities because he's so flawed. Because he gets it right wrong so many times, much more than he gets it right. And he used every single gift that God gave him. And David was unapologetic about loving God. I was on a platform, a podcast similar to this, and the question was David a narcissist? And we were in conversation about that. And I did a SWOT analysis on David. I did. I was like, okay, we're going to do a SWOT analysis. We're going to evaluate his strengths, his weaknesses, his opportunities, and his threats. And the opportunity list was, by and large, so much greater than his strengths, his weaknesses, or his threats. And the answer to the question was, I can't say for sure if David was a narcissist, but I can say for sure he was an opportunist in the best possible way. He never wasted an opportunity to serve God, to worship God, to be honest with God, to come to God in his raw, authentic self. And here he is, a man after God's own heart, with all of that and all that that means. And so I'm encouraged by that. And I'm just grateful every day that God chooses to use me. And I don't take it lightly.
So we went through this thing called COVID.
What's that? What?
And all of a sudden, we're getting all of these curveballs. Mm-hmm. So, Tish, as folks listen in, how would you say that you all have been able to pivot from COVID? And what are some of the lessons learned? What are some of the carryovers?
So this is a great question because we began the pivot before the pandemic happened.
There you go.
So it was one of my major goals when I became pastor. The first goal was we're not going to do anything until I get to know the people. We're not changing a doorknob. Mm. We're not doing anything. Mm. And so I made it a point to set up personal time with my members. Yeah. If anyone wants to have lunch with me, if anybody wants to visit with me, let's have coffee. That was my first order of business. Mm. And then I realized we had to improve our media position because we were using still the VHS tapes. We were creating DVDs after service. And I was like, this won't stand long. We have to upgrade this. And so that was one of my first projects. Little did I know that that would be so essential to our survival because the pandemic was coming.
Yes.
And so we upgraded the system. We put monitors in the church. We implemented digital giving. All of these things. And at first it was, well, why do we need all of this stuff? And I was like, because we have to be, not even for the pandemic, we just need to be upgraded. This is the way service is done now, and we need to be upgraded.
Welcome to the 21st century.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
And everything was pretty much done at the beginning of March.
My goodness.
March 15th was our last in-person service of 2020.
Yeah.
March 23rd, I think it was, we went live for the first time and received 3,000 views on our first service. And so it went from, why do we need to do this, to why didn't we do this sooner? And it opened
up. Hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? Yeah.
And it just opened up a new world to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always say it was a providential pivot. Mm-hmm. It was God knowing beforehand, this is coming down the pike, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
I'm just grateful I was obedient to it because we did not miss a beat.
I know the plans I have for you.
I know the plans I have
to prosper.
To prosper you, give you hope and a future.
Yeah.
And had we not had that, we'd have suffered. We would have been trying to catch up. Yeah. And we didn't have to catch up. We had everything that we needed because we were obedient to what God was telling us to do.
Mm.
And so I call it a providential pivot that we made. And again, we haven't missed a beat.
That's
since.
Amazing. Are folks beginning to come back to church?
Yes and no.
Right.
In the physical space, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
What I wasn't surprised about the younger generation still wavering as to whether or not they were going to come back. I was surprised that the seniors were like, we don't need to come back. Because in the pandemic, they discovered something that they didn't know existed called YouTube.
Yes.
And it's like, wait, you mean all this time? I could have been watching everybody all day long from my recliner while drinking tea, and I don't have to get in my car, and I don't have to risk a slip and fall.
Yeah.
It's 20 degrees. I'm sorry, Pastor. Yeah. I'm going to watch you on the YouTube. And so that's what I was surprised about, that the seniors would embrace this new way of sort of doing church. And so some are coming back. I am seeing a lot of new faces come back.
Yeah.
Not as much as the normal congregation. A lot of new faces are coming back, and that's encouraging.
Who may be connecting with you through.
Who are connecting with us through the digital space.
Yeah.
And we have several hundred views each week, which for a church our size is impressive. Each week.
So in addition to your work as lead senior pastor of the church, you're busy. Talk to us about this ministry of engaging women with women of the Bible.
Yes. So whenever someone says I'm busy, I say I'm not busy, I'm productive.
There we go.
Because busy just denotes doing things for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
So I try to be productive.
Yes, ma'am.
Even if I'm doing nothing, I'm very productive doing nothing. So Who's That Lady is the name of the ministry, and it started creating opportunities. I noticed that in my church, while we had a robust women's ministry, it was very much a fundraising ministry. Mm-hmm. And so the question became, well, how are we being poured into if we're always doing, really good at doing? And so I went to my pastor and I said, I'd like to start a women's Bible study. And I'd like to name it Who's That Lady, where we study the lesser known women of the Bible. It's kind of a play off the Isley Brothers song. And it was phenomenal. It was met with such success and such joy. The women were coming out because we would do practical we do object lessons, and the women women would love the camaraderie. And the whole point was for women to know they're not alone.
Yes.
And not only are we not alone in today's cultural context, what you're going through has been happening for a really long time, and finding biblical examples in women of the Bible. And little did I know it would become a book, it would become an annual conference, it would, all the way from the States to Uganda, women have been impacted by it. We helped found a school in Mwani, Kenya, for children impacted by HIV and AIDS. It's more than I ever imagined that it could be or would be. And it's all because I just asked the question, can we?
Yeah.
Can we do this? I saw a need and decided to help fill the need. And it just, and it's amazing. And now online, we have a fellowship of over 1,000 women. And my favorite part of this ministry is how it brings women together. Mm-hmm. So you'll have women that meet at the conference. And then the next thing you know, I'm seeing pictures of women who live in Delaware who are deciding to go on vacation with women who live in Georgia. And I'm like, we met at the conference. I'm like, this is so fantastic. Yeah. And that's what I wanted for it. Wow. And now it's kind of its own little entity, its own little animal.
Exceedingly little abundantly.
Exceedingly abundantly, more than I could ask a thing. Yeah. Truly, truly. Mm-hmm.
So as you peer into the future, we've heard a bit about what's next? Have you given much thought to it?
I have given much thought to it. I am giving much thought to it. I really would like to teach. I really would. I would like to teach. As of right now, I'd love to teach homiletics. I love preaching. And I don't just love to preach. I love the art and the science of preaching. It is a rabbit hole for me. And they say whatever you can do for hours and not miss any time, that's probably what you should be doing in life.
Yes.
And preaching is that for me. When I get into study and I begin to exegete and explore and read history and the background, how do we get here? And who is this person? And why are they this way? Why do they behave this way? I absolutely love it. And I love, as I said, good preaching. And I love not so good preaching because I believe you can learn something from every preaching moment. And I just love it. And I'd love to be able to teach it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you feel like you were almost birthed into existence to do it.
I do.
Yeah.
Whereas most things ended in COVID, I feel like I came alive in COVID. That was the season for me. Where what was hidden became revealed for me.
Tish, I can't tell you how enriched and how encouraged we've been by your presence, not only in chapel and with question and answers over lunch, but by this conversation. And I wonder if you would allow me to conclude our conversation by simply praying prayer over you in your ministry.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Thank you.
Absolutely. Let's pray together. Lord, for Tish, her life, her gifts, we pause to give you praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, thank you that you are the one who continues to make a way, and that you are able to make rough places smooth, and that you are able to make narrow places wide. Thank you, Lord, for Tish's obedience to you, for a heart of gratitude, for the ability that you've given her to be her authentic self. Thank you, Lord, that all is laid bare before you, and we do well, and we walk wisely when we do so with integrity. And so, Lord, here's my prayer. Would you continue to use Tish where she presently is, and Lord, continue to allow her lines to fall in pleasant places. Thank you for her impact. Thank you for her remarkable gift of preaching. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to provide opportunities for ministry, even as you have birthed within her a real desire to serve. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. that you are the one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give your life as a ransom for many. And we're never more like you than when we serve. So, Lord, bless the work of our hands and increase our impact for kingdom cause. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.